Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Yes, this is another episode, episode 35 of Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl Nordgren. I'm always directing all of these shows towards the same purpose, and that's to bring you as many different perspectives as I can on what it means to be creative, what it means to be innovative, what it means to be entrepreneurial, what it means to be productive and generative, all these energies and all these forces that we need so much in our lives, that our nations need so much, our communities need so much. And so with all those many perspectives, I then urge you to create, to develop, to craft your own understanding of what it means to be creative that's going to serve you. And so I bring you lots of different perspectives, lots of different guests. I hope you heard the show that I had with my guest today, Mariel Hare. The first time we were together, it was one of the best shows we've had. I've heard so much good about it. And I invited her back, and I'm so delighted that she's come on back. Some of you didn't hear that show. Let me introduce her to you, and we're going to get started. Mariel Hare has been one of my creative, one of my creative partners for a few years. We've just shared so much with each other about our love for the importance of growing creative qualities. She's an artist. She's a somatic-based creativity coach, and she designs transformational experiences. She told us about some of those on her previous show. One of the things that we're going to hear from her talk about today is an area that she's done a lot of work in, and it's really served, I can tell you, me personally, and that is the work that she does in helping people bring their creativity to life to reconnect with the wonder and the enchantment of nature. And she has found helped me find some enchantment in nature for sure. She's got just a lovely, lovely dog that I want to meet someday that is just enchanting just to look at. And she's done a lot of work. She's worked with at NASA. I've talked to you about NASA's involvement in some important creative work, creative research. She's actually done some creative consulting for high-level personnel at NASA. And she's also really into play, which is another topic we're going to hear a lot about in this show. So, Mariel, welcome back. Why don't you tell people a little bit more about that, and then we're going to get started talking, I think, about nature is where we're going to go first this morning. But go ahead and tell us a little bit more about who you are, please. Thank you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Carl. I am delighted to be here, and I appreciate you doing this show. It's important. Hello. I live on the Haw River in Chatham County with my two favorite mammals, my lovely husband and my fabulous dog that will hopefully meet Carl one day. you know, just to give kind of a high level view of what my mission is, it's about rehumanizing. And there's a way that these important kind of softer aspects of ourselves have been marginalized, like intuition and the connection to our bodies and empathy and connection and knowledge that we are nature and, of course, creativity. My coaching work is really about bringing people into alignment with their truest self. I say that we are all inside our own bottle drinking our own Kool-Aid. So we can't possibly know our magic. We don't know what's on the label. We can't know what that Kool-Aid tastes like. It's all we've ever known. So I help people really kind of get in touch with their own magic.
I love
and
that.
I create art experiences. We talked about collective effervescence last time. And then I also create experiences and workshops for companies or businesses that are designed according to the needs of that company. And then as an artist, I create these art experiences, but I'm also a landscape photographer and a video artist and a passionate movement improviser.
Well, you've already done it again. Every time we get together, I walk away with a new phrase, a new collection of words that just gives me some new insight. And the fact that we can't know our own magic Wow, that really helps me see exactly what's behind that. I mean, that phrase just perfectly opens my mind up to what you mean by that. I love that. We can't know our own magic. Mm. Yeah, so thank you always for all this wonderful language that you give to me, that you give to us. So let's hear something. We're going to talk about nature, your wonderful work in nature. I think you mentioned you're a landscape photographer. You've mentioned your lovely dog, and I've just been so mm-hmm. delighted by all these wonderful photographs that you've taken of your dog in nature. So I'm not directing you to specifically to that, but boy, I'd love to hear where your creative spirit is when you're out there doing that kind of work.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to share about that. I would say nature is my church, for sure. And there, in the landscape photography that I do, I would say there's an intimacy. What I'm seeing is I'm sharing what I'm seeing, and what I'm seeing, I am loving. And so it's almost like a transmission of love, like the reverence, the light. And it really is very, I love nature everywhere, but when I moved back to North Carolina, from the Bay Area, where I lived for a very long time, my landscape photography just really ignited. Because this landscape, I grew up in the South, and this landscape really, really speaks so deeply to me.
Yes.
And thankfully, my dog, I don't know that I need to say much about her, but she's a Carolina dog, and she looks like a cross between a dingo and a fox.
Yes.
And she is a muse. And speaking about creativity, we also could just speak to the muse, right? So nature is a muse for me, and my dog is as well. And just kind of to speak to the audience about creativity in this way, sometimes it's really helpful to devote your creative practice to something, to either find a muse and pursue that, but also, kind of along the same lines where you're elevating something, you can devote a practice to, to your grandmother, who was creative, or, so that's kind of a little tangent, but I just wanted to throw that in.
Tangents are rich. that's all, great stuff. And I'm not going to let go of your dog too soon here, Ness. I'm a big canine fan, and someday I'm going to meet your dog, and maybe someday I'm going to have a dog that looks just like your dog, because it's just as wild-looking an animal as it can be for a domesticated animal. So we're here at the end of our first segment today with you folks, and we're going to come back, and Mariel's got some more really fun stuff to share with us, some really exciting stuff to share with us, some really creative stuff to share with us. So come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. I know you came back with a smile on your face to hear more from Marielle about her just wonderful insight into creativity from so many different interesting angles. And so we were talking about nature. Marielle, you were talking about nature when we took our break. I know you have a few more things that you'd like to share with us about that. So here we go. Back to you.
It's very apparent to me when I walk in nature that I am nurtured by it, but I am so grateful to people who research it and prove it. not that I need it, but it's validating. So there's a study done where they looked at participants who walked in nature for 15 minutes, And they found that after that 15 minutes, they were better equipped to like handle challenges and solve problems.
Nice.
And another one, determined that natural environments like instilled a sense of what they called prospect, which is an elevated perspective and hopefulness. And I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I know that's probably what you feel in nature.
Well,
I do, but
I'm just thinking anybody who's listening who spends time in nature is making the same sounds that you and I are. Of course, this is. I mean, you the minute you say that, you're reminded of all the times you feel that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And if anything, if you're not making time to get out into nature, there's your research-based reason to do it.
Right. No, that's absolutely right. And I like it as well. When I never consider my work to be research-based, but I loved it that sometimes it's research-supported, right? Because
exactly.
There will be people that we will work with who have been so much of their time stuck in their rational, logical mind that a piece of research gives them a little bit more permission to listen to the right brain's, you know, messaging. So, yeah, I love it when I can support something, as you've just done with some research. Great. There's so much research. I'm not telling you to come to the research, but there's so much about the power of play. We talked a little bit about play when we were on our first show together. I'd love for you to revisit play. I've saw some research. Let me say this. I saw some research that says that children exhibit more self-control when they are engaged in open-ended play than they do in the classroom. When they're out on the playground with their friends engaged in open-ended play, they're not only engaged their imaginative mind, right? We all know that. But now research shows that you're also learning more self-control. Because if you don't have self-control when you're out on the playground playing, the other children will stop playing. They will stop playing with you, right? I have to wait for my turn.
That makes sense.
I have to wait for my turn. There's just so many reasons to talk about play. You've got a bunch. Lay one on us.
Well, I defined this last time, and I'm going to say it again, because my definition is not in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I think we might need a new word or this to be added, but it's a curious exploration without a known outcome. And I just think that is so important for everything, really. You know, when you're able to kind of open wide the possibilities, right, and just explore, then you really get into new territory. And when you're in new territory, you know, that's where we're finding new solutions, right? I mean, just from a practical point of view. But it's also fun and yes, important for our human well-being.
Refreshing. I talked.
We all
understand how important it is to refresh our digital devices. We seem to forget how important it is to refresh us ourselves.
Yeah, so true. And like along the lines of refresh, like I love, you know, associated with play, is primary to play is curiosity.
Yes.
And, you know, that's such an important quality. And, you know, it also stretches our attention spans, which have become quite narrowed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lays down new neural pathways, which you know all about, Carl, with your research or your interest in the aging brain.
Right.
So there's a tremendous amount of research and reason to play and just so much benefit.
I'm so, my parenting of my three daughters was certainly much easier than the parenting would be today because they came along just before all the digital distraction occurred. And so their boredom wasn't easily assuaged by, you know, just pushing a button. Their boredom required that they learn that they could entertain themselves through play, through their own self-generated play. And what a wonderful thing that is to learn, right? Is to that you can entertain yourself through play, through engaging in play. And it's hard.
I
would tell my Duke students, hey, this week I want you to have your journal be all about your experiences with play. And 90% of them would come back and their journal for that week would be filled with their experiences with fun. Yeah, me and my friend went to a movie and boy, we had a lot of fun. But it took them forever, not all of them, of course, but it took such a large percentage of them forever to grasp what play even was anymore. Which is just so sad for these young generations that they just haven't experienced it like we got to experience it just simply because we grew up when we grew up.
Yeah, and that piece that you spoke of that they had to entertain themselves, I would say, you know, back to you're in the bottle drinking your own Kool-Aid, you know, the way that kids choose to play, especially when they're younger and they're inventing it, it's so particular. I did this in one of my workshops where I had people list the quirkiest ways that they played. And we could see the correlations, you know, with like who they became. And we could also like craft a practice for their current day life that brought back some of the qualities or even actual practices from how they played as a child.
Oh, that's cool. That is very cool. Well, that is, you know, to even consider mapping that is a creative insight. It's a creative insight. And so thanks for this great stuff about play. We've got a break right here now, folks. We've got one more segment where we get to hear more from Marielle about creativity. Come on back. And we'll have another surprise for you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the final episode of Exploring Your Creative Genius. My guest today is Marielle Hare. In our previous two segments, we were talking about the wonder of nature and how important nature is to her life, her creative life, to creative lives that we all want to live. We talked about play. Boy, that's important stuff, folks, what she shared with us about play. And now we're going to talk about dance. Such an important part of Marielle's life for almost all of her life is dance. And so, Marielle, what do you want to share with us about your work in dance and what that has told you about the creative experience?
Well, given that embodiment is such an important piece of like my coaching and the experiences I create, of course, dance would be a favorite form of creativity as the entire body is involved in the act. And in improvisation, that combines play, right? Because you're making it up. You don't know the outcome. You are making choices moment to moment to moment, and you are truly in the right brain. You are in the now. If you are somewhere else, you're not in the improvisation. You're missing the moment. So, you know, to be so fully in the moment is, to me, as good as it gets being a human. You know, like we're just to be fully here.
Yes, yes, yes. When it's all there, when it's all together, when it's all in sync.
You know, and I was teaching I was kind of coaching a group that had been doing improvisation together for a little while. And I said, well, let me just watch you improvise. And they did. And then I said, so how much would you say you're listening to one another? And they all looked at me like, what? And that, you know, I think that's surprising to most people. Yes. That a large part of improvisation is listening, like really being responsive to what you're seeing, what the other person is doing.
Right.
And I think it's a great model for life, yeah. You know, like, yeah. Like that kind of listening.
And reciprocity.
Yes.
Yeah. I have not experienced improv dance. I've watched a lot of it. I have a daughter who spent a lot of years dancing, and it's the playing off of each other and the right. You used the word intimacy in the previous show when talking about a particular creative experience, and you know, I see that also, right? That you have to achieve some level of intimacy, I would think, to be successfully riffing off each other's movements.
Yeah, I think you're right. I love that you brought that word back. I think there's something very, I'm going to use the word spiritual, about, it's almost like a blending, you know, where you're able to feel the other person almost as if you're one, you know, right. Or feel the other people.
Right. Yeah. And trust, huh? In some of my startups, I recollect the time where I sensed that people were in a mindset where, hey, he or she has to earn my trust. And I remember offering once or twice, what if we try this? Why don't we give each other our trust as gifts, right? Forget about having to earn trust. And so I imagine in improv dance, you give each other trust, right? The trust is a gift. You don't have time to earn it. You just have to grant trust to each other. I would think that would be a significant part of it all.
Yeah, you're right. Because if you're not trusting your partner, you how in the improvisation can you really be?
Right.
And
right.
You know, you're gonna, if you're second guessing them, then you're second guessing yourself usually, and then you're not in any sort of flow, which is ultimately where the magic is, you know.
Exactly.
Once you enter that zone where it's almost like the dance is dancing you.
Right. Yeah, I've experienced flow on the soccer field that I think is the closest I've come to the flow that you experience as a dancer, where you just lose yourself and all of a sudden you realize you're where you're supposed to be without knowing exactly how you got there, is a fun thing to experience. Muriel, this has been awesome. This has been so wonderful. The show goes by so quickly. I'm going to be in touch with you to see if we can get you back again. Thank you so much. Any last goodbye you want to share with anybody? With us, with the audience?
Well, thank you, Carl. And yeah, I would just say to the audience, see if you can find a way to play, you know, or if you have kids, see what they're doing and join them.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful, excellent. Great, that's a great final tip. Thank you so very much, folks. Enjoy your Sunday. Come on back next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.